if y'all will, John chapter 11. We're going to begin the reading in verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says, I want to start in verse 10. It says, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Watch this. Yeah. "And I am glad." Lazarus dead, I'm glad. "For your sakes, that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And I'm going to stop the reading there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you. We just ask you, dear Lord, for some wisdom this morning, guidance, and help us to understand you better. Help us, Lord, to understand how you work, Lord, and how you're such a blessing to us, Lord. And we need you every day, even though sometimes our flesh likes to make us think we don't. Lord, we need you for our very air that we're breathing this morning. I pray that your spirit would have full sway. I pray that we would be molded and made into something pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, that you would help this body of believers this morning to become more like you, fall deeper in love with you, and help us to be better servants of you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the workings of the Lord. The workings of the Lord. It's very interesting how the Lord works, and it's something that we all need to know is how the Lord works. I was reading a story about a missionary. He was in China. He was fleeing persecution. And they chased him across a river, and they chased him across some fields and through some woods. And it was just a real bad deal. They were trying their best to kill him. And finally he escaped, and he come to a fellowship of believers there, and they took him in. And just a scriptural bunch, you know. And they said, "Brother, what verse did you have on your mind while you was going through all that stuff?" He said, "I didn't have any verse on my mind." He said, "I was just running." He said, "It was just me and the Lord." And you know what, how it is? Sometimes you may not have time to think of a verse. You need to be in fellowship with the Lord so you know how He works. And you know what to do in that situation. You got to realize something. There's going to be times come up in your life. Look, I've had time, and I read this Bible every day. There's been times come up in my life I can't give you a verse for what's going on. I don't know. But I know this, I know my Lord, and I know that if I'm walking with Him, He'll lead me the right way. And we got to realize how He works to help us in our daily life. Because I tell you something, there's going to be time we say, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in the Lord Jesus." Well, I tell you this, sometimes He'll put you in a situation where you just can't see any way out, and you can't figure it out. You got to faith it out. You just got to go through there, and this is a good text of Scripture, I believe, to illustrate some of the workings of the Lord. And number one, I want you to see something here in verse 11. I want you to see that the Lord, when you're working with the Lord often allows pain. He often allows it. There's a common saying, and we say this used to when we used to work out and stuff, they say, "No pain, no gain." Well, you know what? That's true. It's gonna cost you to grow a little bit. And growth in grace is a thing of the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain."
Amen.
You know what? We're living in a society now, they're not content. They're not content with how much money they make. They're not content with the house they got. They're not content with the clothes they wear. They're not content with the vehicle they drive. But you know what happens? They won't be content with that. But as far as where they're at with the Lord, they're content there, you know. Brother, I'll tell you something. If you're content with where you are with the Lord right now, you are backslid. Why? Because we want to get closer to God every day. Every single day. I'm nowhere near where I need to be in the Lord. I don't ever want to get to the place where I think I've arrived. Brother, that's what I tell you, man. You'll get to the place you just stagnate. Just stagnant. And when you're working with the Lord, I'm telling you, He's going to allow some pain. I want you to see in this text right here that the Lord allowed His friend. He says in verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He allowed his friend to die so he could get glory. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 6 in the same chapter. It says, I said verse 6, verse 4, I'm sorry, verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He's saying, hey, he's not sick unto death. He said, God's going to get glory out of this thing. You know, we're living in a time right now where bodily healing is elevated above the spiritual. The body is elevated above the spirit. He said, hey, I'm letting him die so I can get some glory here. Man, you talking about a mouthful, brother. That's a mouth. If we're going to try to get into that a little bit, I want to read a verse to you. The devil knows this. The devil knows how we think. In Job chapter 2, verse 5, the devil says, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil had seen me in long. He'd been around long enough. And you know what the devil had noticed? He had noticed, hey, when a guy, he may lose all kinds of things, but when his health fails, he'll curse God to his face and say, God, why are you doing this to me? What's going on here? Amen. The devil's seen that happen enough. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing a time where the body is so elevated above the spiritual, it's just unreal. Unreal. We've got ambition to be better workers and better employees. Nothing's wrong with that. But as far as our ambition for the Lord goes, you just don't hardly see it. You don't hardly see somebody say, man, I want to get to where my prayer time's sweeter. I want to get to where my Bible time, I spend more time in my Bible or a better quality of time in my Bible. I want to get to where I care for others more. You don't see that anymore. Why? Everybody's so selfish. Right. So selfish. Y'all, what I'm telling you is the devil knows it so well that he says with most people, see, Job was the exception, but the exception proves the rule. Job knew, he said, if I can get him in a bad shape physically, I can get him to curse God. You know what? Oftentimes you don't realize you're going through something physical and you say, what have I done? What have I done? Maybe you hadn't done something wrong. Maybe you'd done something right. And guess what's happened? The Lord knew that Job could handle it there. And Job was the exception to the rule. And maybe God's saying, okay, devil, you're wrong about that one right there. Maybe the devil's come up here and saying, hey, I'd like to try her out one time. Amen. I'd like to try him out and just see how he acts under that.
That's right.
And guess what? A lot of times somebody else, another Christian sees you still having the joy of the Lord through that situation. They say, man, that sister right there, that brother right there, man, praise the Lord for them. Why, they got a good testimony.
Right.
Why, they see that you're not putting your body above your spiritual. We're in a place now, look, I love that prayer. I thank God we're able to pray. We've seen things happen. But if the Lord tarries, every one of us is headed in that prayer list sometime or another.
That's right, brother.
Y'all, that's why it's such a blessing for us to be able to pray for. Yeah. We have to take that thing serious. You know what gets me? And I'm just telling you, I've had to deal with myself on this stuff too, so don't think I'm just whipping you this morning. But I'm telling you this right here. We want everybody to pray for us, pray for us, brother, and all this stuff right here. But as far as we put them names on there, how often do you pray for them names?
That's right, brother.
I tell you this, you know what's happening? You're missing a blessing.
That's right.
Because we're seeing people get help, man. I mean, we have literally together as a body of believers seen people get help. And y'all, I want people praying for me, and we ought to pray for other people. We want everybody to pray for us. We ought to pray for others.
Amen.
We ought to pray. You know what's a bad deal? You get people, and they say, Brother Chase, pray for me. And they'll call, and they'll get on every prayer list in North Mississippi. And then whenever they get the prayer answer, the FBI can't find them. What's happened? They got what they wanted, and they're gone.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, my friends, that ought to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and further away. It's a bad thing when people, they know prayer works and they'll get on that prayer list and they get what they want from God and then they're gone. I'll tell you something, that's of the devil. That's of the devil.
Amen.
Why? We're putting our body above our spirit. You know, we ought to think, you know what, do you some good. And I'll tell you what, it'll give you joy. It'll give you joy in your heart. Get down on your knees when you get home sometime and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for giving me a roof over my head this morning. Lord, I got these clothes on here, and I know they may not be brand new, but I thank you for the ones I've got. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that you gave me another week. I was able to work and able to provide for my family. God, I tell you something. You get to where you start thinking, you counting your many blessings, you got a whole lot more blessings, a whole lot more good things going than you do bad. What happens is this world, you're looking on the television and you're saying, look at what they got over here and look at what they got over there. And you're comparing yourselves among yourselves, which is not wise. And you don't realize all the blessings you got. The devil's making you think they got it made when they really don't have it made. Let me tell you something about Hollywood. They got all kind of problems.
Amen.
They got all. They just got the outside. The devil makes you think that that's living and that's not living. I know a lot of people's got all kind of things on the outside. Let me tell you something. On the inside, it's junk going on there, brother. I'll tell you something.
Amen.
That money can't buy.
Amen.
Now, praise God. If we got one, he allows you to work and do things. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't you ever think that's where all the blessings are. I know some people that's poor. They can't even afford to pay attention. But guess what? They got the blessings of God.
Amen.
Brother, what it is, whatever you have, use it for the Lord.
Amen.
Whether you got a bunch or whether you got a little bit, use it for God. I tell you, that why? Because the devil knows when you start getting down and you're working for the Lord, you'll start blaming God for it. And a lot of times God's trying to help you instead of hurt you. We say, oh, I believe that Bible. God says, okay, rejoicing in all things. Be thankful in all things. Can you thank Him for the pain just like you thank Him for all the promises?
Right.
See, we just hypocrites, man. Just a bunch of, we all of us are a bunch of hypocrites. Why? We say we're Bible believers, and then whenever we go through something tough and we get close to the Lord and watch the Lord work, we forget. God's a God of the mountains and God of the valleys. God of the hills and the valleys. He's God both times.
Yes,
what I'm telling you is this. You will find yourself getting closer to God if you realize He still loves you in each situation.
Amen.
Romans 8:28 still is in the Bible. He's able to work all things together for good. What I'm saying is this, right? Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was his friend. And he said, it's going to get God glory. Now think about this. Do you want God to get glory? The Bible says over there, in Revelation 4:11, you can write it down in your margin, for thou hast created all things. It says, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created for God's pleasure. You say, what am I here for? To please God.
Amen.
Ultimately, you're here to please God. Now, if we get up in the morning and we say, I'm just going to please myself, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to have a bad day. Live unfulfilling. Why? We're supposed to live our life in the light of God and trying to help other people. You will not have joy unless you get that principle. And why do you keep saying that, Brother Chase? Because you hadn't got it yet. And I hadn't got it yet either. Y'all, I tell you this, I want to see you be happy in the Lord, and the only way to be happy in the Lord is to put Him first.
That's right.
I'm telling you, man, it'll bless your heart. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, I die daily. Now there's a doctrinal death. Whenever Romans 6:1-6 talks about that, when I trusted Christ, the old Chase died, and I was placed in the body of Christ, risen new in life, a new creature. Why? Because something new's on the inside of me. But as far as this flesh, man, Paul said, that is in me, my flesh dwelleth no good thing. This body wants to sin just as bad as a lost person. Why? I've just got something on the inside of me. It wants to do what's right. You say, well, I ain't like that. Yeah, you are too. You just don't realize it. You will before too long. I'll tell you something. You got to realize there is a practical death. Paul says, daily, I die daily. So what am I saying? This verse is teaching you the Lord allows pain sometimes for your spiritual gain. Now, I want you to know this. Everybody has got a cross to bear. Lost or saved.
Amen.
On the cross, there was two thieves in Lord Jesus Christ. One of them was, well, they call him the impenitent thief, and the other one they call him the penitent thief, because he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Guess what? All three of them was on the cross. All three of them was suffering. One of them suffered with Jesus, and one of them suffered without Jesus. This morning, everybody in here, whether you're lost or saved, you're going to suffer.
Amen.
You're going to go through things that we don't want to go through, and we're going to go through things that you can't explain, that you don't understand.
Amen.
The only difference between us and a lost person is you're either going to go with it through all those things with the Lord Jesus Christ or by yourself.
Amen.
I'd rather go through it with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, I don't see how this lost world, I've said that before, how do they get through that stuff without the Lord? They don't. They can place a smile on their face and fake a smile on their face and everything else. Only a Christian can smile through hard times.
That's right.
Now, there's times when we can't, but I tell you, it's not long before you got joy again. Why? The Lord Jesus is the only one that can give you that joy and that strength of that pain. Person who's locked, they don't understand suffering doesn't make a bit of sense to them, and before long they just out there so far they don't believe in God anymore. Well, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. People say, well, atheists need a holiday. They got one, April Fool's Day. They got holiday. That's their day, April the 1st. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Number one, there's a common saying, no pain, no gain. Sometimes when you're working for God, you're going to have some pain. Number two, there's a misunderstanding of servants. They didn't understand. His servants did not understand it. There's several things that they didn't understand. And I want you to know, number one, there's a place over in Matthew 16, they didn't understand the teaching of the leaven. Sometimes false doctrine, he said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 16. And they said, what's he talking about? He said, then in verse 12, it's the leaven is the false doctrine. So a lot of times you don't understand. God's trying to warn you about something, and you'll be working for the Lord and you don't understand he's warning you. You just got to get in that book and keep listening. They had to keep listening.
Amen.
A lot of times we don't understand something in that Bible and say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, just keep listening, keep reading, keep waiting.
Amen.
Man, I tell you something. You won't, on this side of this earth, you won't never understand all that Bible.
That's right.
If you're serving God, you're going to have places like that. Don't let that get to you, y'all. Every one of us are at different walks in our life, and we try to teach the Bible, and you say, well, some of that stuff's tough. Simon Peter said, hey, some of those writings of Paul, you read over there, he said, man, he said, some of those things, his exact words were, it's hard to be understood.
Yeah.
Y'all, some of that stuff's simple and some of it's harder to understand, but what it is God's got that book written in such a way where the smallest child can get what he needs and the deepest theologian can get what he needs. Why? That book is there for everybody.
Yeah.
If you like poetry, you can read the Psalms. You like mathematics, there's enough numbers in there for Tesla. And you say, what about Einstein? Tesla was smarter than Einstein. And there's enough in there for everybody. What I'm telling you is this, that you not always understand it when you're serving God, but keep going. There's another thing, a misunderstanding of servants there, working for Him. Common lessons. Just in common lesson. And sickness is one of the things that we had the most trouble with. John 9, a few chapters back, there's a man born blind, and they said, Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents? See, they want to blame it on the parent. Everybody always wants to blame it on the parent. Let me tell you something about that. You raise that child for God the best you can, and when they get out of there, they got free will. It's up between them and God.
That's right.
Man, a lot of people and a lot of parents, you put bondage on yourself that don't even belong on you because they said, which man did sin because he's got this going on here? Him or his parents? God said, nobody, the glory of God. Well, he said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to open these eyes. You know what's the glory of God? Some of these people are just living like hell. And then they trust Jesus Christ, and man, they're a monument to God's grace. He said, isn't that wonderful right there? And that person right there was saving serving the devil, and now he's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He was headed to hell, now he's headed to heaven. He was going down, now he's going up. He was bad, now he's good. He was walking in darkness, now he's walking in light.
Amen.
Wow, that's a blessing, man. You get to praise the Lord. Y'all, sometimes some things are happening to give God glory. That don't mean, because a lot of times this old flesh, it wants attention so bad to say, well, I did this, I did that, other thing. Look here, you raise them for the Lord, you raise them for the Lord. What if the Lord said, Adam fail. What did I do wrong? I'm just going to sit over here in the universe and not do anything. No, Adam, he said, I don't want you to do that right there. And Adam said, okay. And Eve said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get him. Eve ate the tree, and Adam died for her. So what are you going to do with that? Both of them disobeyed the Lord.
Amen.
You see, you got to be real careful with that book right there. That's why, on another note, that's why wives, we're real influential on our husbands. That's why, look, both of us, husbands, we need to live for the Lord because we got influence over her, and you need to live for the Lord because you got influence on Him. We all have an influence on somebody somewhere, and you better be careful how you use that influence. Wow, we're working for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's another thing there on misunderstanding of servants, on common lessons. Hard things to learn. Hard things to learn. Y'all, John chapter 6, the Lord gives a sermon there, And his disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Some things are just hard to hear, man. You get over there in that verse, I tell you what the liberals can't stand. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Now, there's got to be other ways. Ellen DeGeneres says there's other ways to heaven. Well, there's got to be other. Oprah Winfrey said there's other ways. It's just one way. Sorry, just one way.
Amen.
You know what it is? People sit glued to that TV all the time. They say, "Well, just there's some good folks, and God wouldn't send them to hell." Now, that Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We can say somebody's good just in as far as them just being good folks. There's nothing wrong with us saying that. But as far as in God's eyes, unless you're in Jesus Christ, there's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. In any other way. Any other way, you're in a mess. Well, in literal, more than that, a lake of fire and you can't get out. Amen. Is that plain enough? What I'm telling you is, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but some things are hard to understand for some people, but I tell you what, if you'll get to the place where when God tells you something, say, "You're right, Lord, and I'm wrong." It'll make your life a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier.
Yes, sir.
You're going to misunderstand things, but there's some common things. When you're working for the Lord, you got to realize you're often going to get the message. Sometimes it's hard to understand at first. Let me show you something neat. Hold your place here. Look at Mark. Mark chapter number 4. I want to show you something here. As far as the Bible goes, some of this stuff is real neat. You got to realize, We're living in a time now when people just literally don't understand that Bible at all. Y'all, but you can't make a lost person understand that Bible. That thing is a veiled book until you trust Jesus Christ. The only thing they can get out of that Bible that's worth anything is you need to get saved. And then whenever you trust Jesus Christ, a carnal Christian is going to have major trouble with that book. A babe in Christ is going to have major trouble in that book. And I'll tell you this, even when you're growing in grace, you're going to have times where some days you may not be serving too well, or some days you may have a stumbling block up here. And I run into a verse and I say, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll say, "Man, if I did that, oh man, that's tough right there." What happens is the Lord said, "You better get that idol out of your heart. Wow, my word's right and you're wrong."
That's right, brother.
And sometimes you're going to get in that Bible and it's going to seem like a parable to you. Why? He's got a reason for it. Parables can teach. Some people say, "Well, parables don't teach doctrine." Well, they're not reading the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 2. "And he taught them many things by parables." Watch this. "And said unto them in his doctrine." Parables in his doctrine. You can't get... Now what am I saying? Now jump down to verse 11. Well, how come he talked to them in parables? Verse 11, "He said unto them, unto you it is given to know." It's a gift. If you understand something, you got to realize, praise God, it was a gift, given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. "But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Why? That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You know what he's saying? I'm giving parables. Why? They don't want to see it. They don't want to see it. They're looking down at the verse and they're saying, "No, it really don't mean that." In the Greek it says, in the Hebrew it says, and my mama says, and my daddy says, and my church says, and we believe, and I just always been taught. You get those idols in your heart, and he's saying, "Okay, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you in parable form, because unto you it's given, but unto them it's hidden." You got to realize there's a lot of things you're going to be working for the Lord, and it may take a little. It took a minute for him to get it, but you're going to get it. You got to keep working for God. Even whenever, y'all, there's going to be things go on with us as we try to work for the Lord in the future that you just can't understand what's going on, but you got to keep serving God. Why? Because if you react too fast, you know what happens? A lot of times we'll mess something up and the Lord's saying, "Hold on a minute now, I was about to give you something, I was about to show you something, but you reacted too fast."
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to get that thing. Well, sometimes the lost world's not understanding what you're doing, but you keep working for God. Why? I'm telling you, we're living in a world right now, they don't understand what this saved bunch is doing. But I tell you this, you just keep working for God, keep working for God, and keep working for God, no matter what this old lost world says. Why? They're headed for a bad place. When, I've said it before and I'll say it again, when they get what they want, they're not going to want what they get. It's fixing to be that way one of these days. Keep serving the Lord. Now here's the next thing I want you to see. The importance of staying away from sin. When you're working for God, here's a verse I want you to mark in your margin. But don't turn there. Just listen to it. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." You know why people don't have understanding? Number one, they don't fear the Lord. Number two, they don't depart from evil. When you're working for the Lord, I tell you how to get blind. You just keep doing what you're doing. Keep sinning. You know what's going to happen? You'll lose your understanding. Now, every one of us can get knowledge. You know what knowledge is? Just accumulation of facts. The devil's got knowledge. He was sitting under the tree of knowledge. Okay? The devil has wisdom. The Bible said he's full of wisdom and beauty. So he's got wisdom. But you know what the devil don't have? He don't have understanding. Why? He don't fear God and he don't depart from evil. So understanding is using your knowledge and using your wisdom for God. These people has got all this knowledge and all this wisdom and they don't use it for God. I'm going to tell you something. They don't have understanding and they wonder why they don't understand what's going on is because they're not departing from sin. And a lot of times you're getting a time now where you're getting a whole bunch of these little sissy preachers getting up and you say, "What are you talking about?" I tell them to them. Face. You ask somebody here, I tell it to their face. You know what they're doing? They're getting up here and they make you feel real good and they're real wonderful. They don't mention sin. And you know what's happening? They're letting a whole lot of people get out there. You know what happens? They get out there and they don't understand what's going on. Whenever a preacher's telling you about sin, he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. Why? Because that is the thing that blinds us. Trying to show you what the Bible says about it, not stomp on you, but show you what the Bible says about it so we can see clearly to serve. Every time in my life where I've gotten to a place where I didn't understand something and I start going off the deep end, you know what happens? I can find a place there where I haven't been departing from evil. Every single time. He said, if you want understanding of how to use your wisdom and your knowledge, you depart from evil. And it's just like Windex. Your conscience is like a window, not like that window. You can't see through that. But your conscience is like a clear window. All right, you know what happens? You sin a little bit. You take, let's just say I had a paintbrush here, and I took a little red paint, and I just slung it on that window right there. That represents some sin. And I didn't get some Windex out and clean it. Well, I can still see through the window a little bit, but not quite so much. And I dip it in there a little bit, and a little bit more sin. Without cleaning, I throw it on that window, and you can't see very much at all now. And before long, I dip it in there again without cleaning it, and I throw that paint up on that window. You can't see. You can't make head nor tails of that. Why? Because you can't see through it. I haven't cleaned it. Now, you know what happens? If you don't depart from evil and you don't stay in fellowship with the Lord and say, "Lord, I need you to forgive me for fellowship," you know what happens? You don't clean that window, you won't be able to see clearly to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll start working for the devil and you'll think you're working for the Lord. You'll start walking in darkness and you just think you're walking in light. Why? Because the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. Amen. He'll make out he's got false light and he'll make out like you're doing something really good and you're just spinning your wheel. Just like I've been stuck before and been out there in the pasture and you're just giving that truck gas and it's not going anywhere, man. You're just ripping it up and those tires are just spinning mud, it's going all over the place. You're not going anywhere. You know what? A lot of people are stuck out there in the pasture. Why? They're just in a rut. You know the only difference between a rut and a grave? The ends are kicked out of the rut. You still ain't going anywhere. A lot of folks just in a rut, man. You know why? Because you're working for the Lord and you're not departing from evil. All right, here's number two. Hope this helped to you. Number two, he makes things plain. Man, when you're working for the Lord, I like the Lord. He'll make things plain. You know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? I like this. It says in John 18:20, "In secret have I said nothing." You got a bunch of folks just living in secret nowadays. Daniel chapter 1, you know, I don't have time to go over, but plain living and right living go together. Daniel just living plain. You know who some of the happiest folks I know? People just live plain. People just get up in the morning, they study the Bible, they go to work, they love their wife, they wash their dishes, they work around the house, and you know what? They just do what they're supposed to be doing, serving the Lord while they're doing it. You know what? They got peace in here. These people get all this other stuff going on out here and they're just living a lie.
That's right.
Living a lie. Jesus said, "Hey, I don't say things in secret. What you see is what you get." You know what that ought to be? What you see is what you get with us. That's what it ought to be. Why? Because Jesus makes things plain over there in John chapter 11, verse number 14. He said, "Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead." Just said it just as plain as he could say it. You know what we need to do? We need to follow his speech. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." We're living in a time, y'all, and I hope y'all give me a little time. Most people just major in the art of almost saying something. He almost said something there. They're so scared of falling off a limb, they won't even climb the tree. You know what's going on? They're so scared of offending somebody.
Amen.
Y'all, I'm not saying go out here and be mean. Y'all know that. But man, we ought to be able to talk plain.
Amen.
When you're witnessing to somebody, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. Now, I'm not trying to, you're going to burn and fry like bacon. I'm not saying that. You know, we're not trying to, you don't have to just rub it in. But y'all, we've got to get to where we're living in an age now when hardly anything is said and everything's veiled. We got to be able to where we're speaking plain. Now, I tell you this, I thought about this. Our speech ought to match our service. 2 Corinthians 3:2, same chapter, he said, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Known and read. You're an epistle. People are reading you.
Right.
They can't do what you're saying for saying what you're doing. What I'm saying is, people are reading how you're behaving. I thought about this. What if our country changes? And what if they say, okay, all these people say they're Christians. You go knock on the door, well, you're saved. Oh, yeah, I'm Christian. Now everybody's Christian, you know. Popes are Christian. Mormons are Christians. Everybody's Christians nowadays. But you know what? What if the government said, we're going to find out. We're going to go to your house. We know some biblical principles here. We're going to go to your house. And what we're going to do, we're going to look on your internet. And we're going to look on your Google search. And we're going to look on your television. And we're going to see what kind of thing. We're going to see if you what you say you are, we're only the real Christian going to be when we round up, you know. And we got a list. Are they a Christian? And one of them is going to say yes, and one of them is going to say no. All right, they go to your house, and they look on all your computer, they look on all your TV, look on your phone, everything, and they say, this one right here, that fella right there, yes, he's a Christian. And they go over here to this next one over here, and they look at all that stuff, and they say, oh, you Christian? Yes, sir, Christian. Well, this right here don't match up. Just put no. And you know what that no stands for? Just name only. Name only. You know what a lot of folks are? They're Christian in name only. Now, I'm not saying, when I'm standing here telling you this, I'm not saying I have arrived by no means, because I have not. But you know what it ought to be? Every one of us in our heart, we ought to want to serve the Lord the best we can serve. Say, Lord, live in and through me, because I can't do it. Wow, this lost world is watching you. They're watching you. While you're working for the Lord, the lost world is watching you, and we ought to be playing what our speech ought to match our service.
That's right.
And if it don't, say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm trying to do better the next day. You know what? If we haven't been doing right, well, I say today, this is the day I'm going to try to live for the Lord. Now, here's another thing I want you to get there. Number three there, he inspires participation. Verse number 16, Thomas said, Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Man, people are rough on Thomas, but he said, hey, I want to go die too. In Matthew 26:35, Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. You know what? If you will serve the Lord, it inspires other people's participation, inspires self-sacrifice, number one. He said, we're going to go die. You know what? We ought to live in such a way we're loving the Lord. It ought to say, hey, he's dying daily to himself. I want to die daily to myself. You know what a lot of people are doing? They're climbing the ladder of success only to find out it's leaning against the wrong wall.
That's right.
You know what? You know what you're finding out? It's like the dog over there by Shirley's. There's a railroad track comes up through there, and this little dog, he chases all these cars. And I said, that dog going to get hit any minute now. And he's over here, and here comes a train. I looked over, and that dog's over there just chasing that train. And finally, the train slows down enough to stop. And then whenever the train stopped, the dog just looked at the train like, what I do now? This thing's too big. I can't do anything. You know what? A lot of people are doing just like that dog.
That's
Now, if he had been chasing a rabbit, or if he had been chasing a squirrel or something, he'd had a meal whenever he caught it. But he caught the train, and he didn't have anything to do. You know what a lot of people are doing? They're chasing that train, just like that. They're running after something, and they're just wasting their energy. And when they finally get to the destination, they're not going to have anything to show for it.
That's right.
You know what that is? That's not dying to yourself daily. If you will die to yourself daily, I want to tell you this, on authority of the Bible, you'll have something to show for it at the end.
Amen.
I'd like to see every one of you, man, when you get up there with the Lord, to have something to show why you weren't chasing the train that you couldn't do anything with. You were chasing a squirrel and you could have some squirrel gravy.
Yeah.
Y'all don't like squirrel gravy? It's good, man. That's good stuff. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Don't waste your energy. He said, hey, we're going to go die. And it's recorded that he said that. And people say, well, you know, he doubted. Yeah, but he followed the Lord. Every one of us, when the record's written on, every one of us is going to have something that they say, well, Chase messed up right there. And you're going to have some things where you messed up as well. But man, praise God for the times that you did die daily to the Lord. Praise the Lord, there's going to be times there. I want you to see it involves self-sacrifice and it encourages others to serve. He said, our fellow disciples. They saw. I'm almost ready to close. This group was in the church. I'm not in the church, in school, and this teacher was talking about the Lord. And the teacher said, "What was he talking about? The yoke of the Lord?" And he said, "Well, what's a yoke?" And he said, "Well, it's something to put that you put around an animal's neck." And she said, "Well, that's a good answer." And she said, "Does anybody know what the yoke of the Lord is?" And a little girl raised her hand. She said, "Yes." She said, "That's when the Lord puts His arm around your neck." You know what the Lord does? You ever notice somebody who you really like, especially one of your children, you just put your arm around them like, you ever notice? Why do we do that? Why do we put our arm around their neck? That you don't do that with somebody unless you're doing like this. But you do that around people you love.
Amen.
Saying, "I'll help you." That's a loving thing that you,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, will wrap His arm around you. Amen. And when He wraps His arm around you, I guarantee you, nobody, all the hounds of hell, couldn't pull that arm off of you.
Amen.
Why? You're in the yoke with the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ can pull you through anything.
Amen.
You say, "I'm in something terrible right now." The Lord can pull you through. If you get yoked up with Him, He'll pull you right through there. Man, I thank God I've got a God stronger than anybody, and He can whip the devil. Well, I need to know that. I need to know why I've got a God that can whip the devil anytime. The Bible said He'll just destroy him without hand. The Bible said He'll destroy him with the brightness of His coming. You got to realize you're fighting from victory, not toward victory. We got to get out here and do something. Look here, we've already won the fight. The Lord Jesus Christ knocked His teeth out at Calvary. My, you got to realize when you're working for the Lord there, and you're going through that yoke and the Lord's got His arm around you, it encourages others. You know what we need to do as a church family here? You just stay in that yoke with the Lord, and it encourages other people to get in there and just fight and serve with you.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, I just about got tongue-tied. This gets me excited, man. Now, here's the last thing. The Lord is precise. Verse 17, it says, "Then when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already." Now, I sure don't have time to go on this, but I'll say this. He's precise in His timing.
Yes, He is.
You know what? There's all kinds of places in that Bible where people didn't wait on the Lord. And they got in a big trouble.
Amen.
Over there in Exodus, they said, "We don't know what's become of this Moses." And Aaron built them a calf down there, and they had them a rock concert. And then guess what? They got in trouble. They didn't wait on the Lord.
That's right.
You know what happens over there in 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel says, "I want you, Saul, to wait." I think it was 7 days. He said, "I'll come back and then we'll sacrifice." Well, Samuel got tired of waiting, and then he intrudes himself into the sacrificial part there of the priest. And you know what happens? He loses the kingdom because of it. Over there in 1 Kings 6 verse 33, I think it was, that king says, "Why? Who am I to wait on the Lord?" You know what's happening? Every one of them getting a mess because they won't wait on the Lord. You know what you have to do in your life? You got to get to a place where you'll wait on the Lord. Say, "I don't understand right now." Okay, wait on the Lord a little bit. "I don't know what we're going to be doing." So, okay, wait on the Lord a little while. What happens is we get in such a hurry.
Amen.
We'll get in the flesh, not waiting on God. You don't even know what God's doing the next day. Abraham wouldn't wait on the Lord, and then he ends up having an Ishmael of the flesh, and we're still dealing with Ishmael right now. Why? Because he wouldn't wait. Would not wait. What I'm telling you is that you got to wait. Some women, they say, well, I got to have a husband now. Okay, you better find one that loves the Lord. Otherwise, whenever you get to the place, you get 13, 14 years down the road, you say, I wish I would have waited on the right one. And men do the same thing. They won't wait on a godly woman. And guess what happened? They get in a place there. Well, man, it's just tough for them. Now, God can help you through it, yes. But what I'm telling you is we get in a hurry. I tell you, I wish this generation would wait on men and women that love the Lord.
Amen.
Man, isn't it wonderful when you got somebody that loves the Lord sitting beside you? Instead of this old lazy generation, won't work, won't do nothing, just sitting around waiting on a check from somebody who is working. That's sorry.
Right.
Now, I tell you, man, that Bible is like that. While y'all, we don't get to where we realize these things. This Bible, look, we can't help what they're doing, but we don't need to be the one who's sorry, though. This generation, man, dropped the ball. It's just why? They gotten away from the Bible. Gotten away from the Bible. Here's the last thing. He's precise in tenderness. Look over in John 11, verse 35. It says, this is, a lot of people don't memorize verses. They got this in memorized. You ask the average Christian to quote you 10 verses, and they'll quote this in 10 times. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I want you to know this morning, you're serving a Lord who knows exactly what you're going through, right how you're going through that. Why? Because the devil tempts everybody with three of the main sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all the devil uses to get everybody there. He's just like the Titans. All he had to do was use those same five plays. That's all they did. Same five plays. And it worked. You know what the devil does? Uses the same three plays over and over and over again.
Yes,
and he'll get you. And the Lord was tempted with all those things, and he knows how to help you. This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ can help you.
Yes, he can.
Men may not be able to help you, but the Lord can help you.
Yes, he can.
I'm pointing you to the one who can understand everything you're going through. Now, well, we're working for him. There may be times when we don't understand. Just keep waiting on him.
Yes.
Realize that, hey, whatever you're going through is not something anybody else hadn't went through. Just wait on the Lord and let him work. As we're working for the Lord, this church right here, you know what we have to do? We got to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, you build it in your time. You know, it's not my business to build a church.
Right.
I can't build this church. Why? The Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily. You know what our business is to be faithful. To be faithful stewards, faithful steward, and let the results be up to God. And I'll tell you something, man, it take a whole lot of pressure off of you. Why? Because you try to do God's work, you can't do it as good as God can.
That's right.
Only God can do that. Praise the Lord for such a Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we need you.